I called him twice.
I don't know why, but you and Lady Slee and Morales just hanging out in the parking lot of the gas station eating ice cream is one of my favorite visuals in quite some time. Just all sitting there with a little nutty buddy, just nibbling on your ice cream cones. This is, you got to make that happen. You got to go back today with her just to get that picture.
I would love to explain that to her too. Hey, just we're going to make a quick stop here. Where are we stopping at? We're just going to stop at the Arco. Morales is...
wants to eat ice cream.
12 minutes away from here. So he's going to come meet us. We're going to have an ice cream together, and then we're going to go.
Off topic very quickly, but not so much off topic for me in this show. You walk into that gas station, that freezer is right by the door, right? You open that freezer. It's the middle of summer. It's hot. You're going to pick a little treat for yourself, Sleep. What's the first thing you're reaching for?
So hot like that... this isn't going to be the best one because it doesn't match with hot. You want something a little more refreshing. I always went for the ice cream sandwiches.
Those are great.
Always went with those. But that's not
with
like
the cakey, the chocolate cakey, yes, and the vanilla. That's a great choice.
But that's like 105 degrees. I'm already so thirsty. I'm not going outside and anything's going to help when I get there.
That's a good choice.
What are you going with?
I think I always call them Nutty Buddy. They're not called Nutty Buddies. What, the thing with the nuts and the peanuts and the chocolate, the cone that's dipped, the chocolate on the inside of the cone.
Drumstick? Yeah.
Drumstick. That's, yeah. Thank you. That's the one I'm going for. Yes.
I do a strawberry shortcake ice cream bar, or I do the ice cream sandwich, but it's the M&M version. So it's like a cookie with M&M on it, and it has the vanilla in the middle. So those are the two that I go.
Taylor?
Bomb Pop.
Bomb Pop is
all the way.
Baller. Those are so good. I'd like to change my answer.
Red, white, and blue. Pop.
Those are good. And the white part's the best. I think it's pineapple or something. I don't know.
As long as we don't say creamsicle, I think we're all good.
Gross.
So today is the anniversary of the premiere of The Office U.S. version. So it was on this day in 2005. So I've watched this series a gajillion times. I could probably do majority... I can do really deep office trivia. There's very few things that will stump me. But I wanted to do some games today with The Office, since we have all watched it. We all love it.
You've logged a lot of office time, right?
Pretty good amount. It's kind of funny. If I'm watching, you know what I find myself watching more of than The Office these days? If I got to pick between the two, I'm watching more Seinfeld than I am. Like, as in, something's on. I'm stopping more at Seinfeld than I am The Office. But yeah, I'm a big fan of The Office.
Both great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one is more plot-driven, one is not as plot-driven, which Seinfeld's easier to jump in.
Yes.
Office kind of is more, you can watch a couple episodes, kind of follow the arc. But I'm going to play a game where I'm going to say a quote from The Office, and I want you to say what character said it.
Is our name our buzzer?
Yep, name's your buzzer. All right, so this first one is... Michael always says, K-I-S-S. Keep it simple, stupid. Great advice.
Travis.
Hurts my feelings every time.
Dwight.
Yep, it is Dwight.
That's Dwight.
All right, next one. If I can't scuba, then what's this all been about?
Sleep.
What have I been working towards?
Is it Michael?
Nope.
Taylor.
Yep.
Creed.
It is Creed. It's a great Creed quote.
Are you an office guy, Taylor? Obviously you are.
Yeah. I like the show.
Okay.
Creed's my favorite.
All right, so this next one is, if I don't have some cake soon, I might die.
Sliwa.
Okay.
Is it, what's his name? What's the big dude's name?
Kevin.
Kevin, is it Kevin?
It's not Kevin.
Travis.
No. Okay.
Is it Phyllis?
It's not Phyllis.
Ooh, there's one other answer.
Taylor.
Yeah?
Stanley.
It is Stanley. Yeah. Stanley Hudson.
It was one of those three for sure, right?
It was in an earlier season. It was season 4, episode 11, Survivor.
Stanley's underrated. Underrated.
Stop right there.
Yeah.
Did you just know that, or did you see that somewhere, the season and the episode number?
I knew.
You just knew that off the top of your head?
Yeah.
Wow.
I know a little too,
never,
too much.
I would
this
never
is
know
a little
that.
Too much. All right. So.
Did you hear what she said?
Yeah, I would never. It doesn't even register.
Just season 4, episode 11.
Yeah.
Whoa. Wow.
All right.
That's really tough to memorize.
I don't really memorize it, it's just in my brain. I fall asleep to this almost every night, so it's just in my brain. Hmm. Next one. This is going to be easy, guys. I hooked up with her on February 13th.
Oh, Travis.
Yep.
Ryan.
Yep, it's Ryan. He hooked up with Kelly on February 13th.
Yeah.
And that's like it's a talking head where he has to do it, and it's the best. All right, so this next one.
Not getting any.
You got one.
No.
Okay.
Oh,
this
you
one
got
them all.
Might oh, be right. easy. Sorry I annoyed you with my friendship.
Taylor.
Okay,
is
Taylor.
Is it Michael?
Nope. It's two Michael,
Sliwa.
Though. Yeah?
Andy.
It is Andy.
Yeah,
ding, ding, ding.
That's right when he went to the office in Scranton, right?
Yeah, and it's right before he goes.
He wouldn't leave him alone.
He gets the anger management and he punches a hole in a wall. Okay. I got, I'll do two more and I can sprinkle some more throughout the show. So, the thought of popping one of your beats into my mouth makes me want to vomit.
Travis.
Yep.
Angela.
It is Angela.
Mm.
All right.
That's a very Angela quote.
I have very little patience for stupidity.
Travis.
Okay.
Kevin.
It is Kevin.
Oh, you got it.
All right. So I have a couple more and I'll sprinkle it through. I also have a trivia round that'll be a little easier.
Season 4, episode 11.
Damn.
I'm like, wow. That was amazing.
Yeah.
That is.
Survivor Man's a good episode. It's the one where Michael goes into the woods and they had to film it and everything.
That's a great one. Yeah. Well, when she said I have deep knowledge, I'm like, yeah, okay. I think I do. I'm not messing with that at all. Like when you just, that's why I said, did you pull that or did you just know that?
Christmas episode when they go to Benihana's.
Yeah. So that's season 4.
Uh-huh.
She doesn't know anything.
I thought you knew it.
I thought I did, but there's some that just kind of come to you a little easier. But I do know it's called Benihana.
Benihana Christmas.
Benihana Christmas. And it's in season 4 or 5.
It's going to bother her the rest of the day.
It is going to bother me a little bit.
All right, what's the one where Michael and Jan invite everybody over for
dinner party,
dinner?
Obviously, season 4.
So we've had a long conversation about that episode.
Yeah, it's one of the best episodes of all time.
That is one of the best episodes.
It's the only episode of The Office, very quickly here, right, that... It's the only episode of The Office that's genuinely dark. It's funny, but it's dark.
Scott Stotz is dark.
Yeah, but it's more of him just being an idiot than anything else, right? Because he left those kids hanging because he's just a dope. But they hate each other. they really hate each other, and she's evil, and he's losing his mind. Like it's dark. Dwight's wine glass in that episode is
amazing.
The funniest gag of the whole thing.
I know the song that her assistant Hunter plays. It's like, took me
it's
by
terrific.
The hand.
It's terrific. It's a good episode. All right, Slee. Lakers tonight against OKC, who got blown out by the Clips last night. So they're on the second half of a back-to-back. They had a bad loss last night. They've been playing really good basketball. I think that going into last night, they'd won 8-10. They were hot. We talked about the game against, who did they play the other night? I'm blanking. The Suns. As the biggest game of the season. Fast forward a couple of nights. Are we right back where we are? Biggest game of the season, must-win territory. Is that what this is tonight?
So this is this is one of the swing games that I don't think every game is created equal the rest of the way. And I'll kind of explain what I'm referring to there. When they played the Mavs, there was a reason why that was such a big game. Yes, it meant something in the standings, but if Dallas and the Lakers have the same record, Dallas will win out because of the tiebreaker.
Right.
When the Lakers played the Pelicans in New Orleans, there's a reason why that was such a big game. That was the tiebreaker. So right now you're looking at, of these teams that the Lakers are competing with, they don't have the tiebreaker against the Dallas Mavericks. They have the tiebreaker against the Pelicans. They also have the tiebreaker against the Golden State Warriors.
Okay.
Keep that in mind, because that's a two-game... Each one of those games meant two games.
And don't have it against the Clippers.
They do not have it against the Los Angeles Clippers.
Okay.
What tonight will determine against the Thunder is the same thing. Thunder are 36-37, Lakers are 36-37. So you're either going to kind of get the Thunder out of the way by the time this game is all said and done with tonight, because you're now up two games with eight games left to go, or... You better put the Thunder out of your thoughts as one of those teams that you're going to pass, because the Thunder are going to be up two games on you.
Yeah, right.
So that's the only reason why, like, the game against the Suns was an important game, but if you said, if you can only win one of these two games, let me give you a better example. If you can only beat the Thunder or the Bulls coming up on Sunday.
Yeah.
Okay, take the Thunder game.
Sure.
Not that the Chicago game isn't meaningful, but that it also includes the tiebreaker.
It might come down to tiebreakers.
Could come down to tiebreaker. Yeah. So that's why this game becomes so critical versus the Thunder.
You said something that's interesting, that both the Lakers and the Thunder are 36-37.
Mm-hmm.
What's a bigger surprise? That the Lakers, and here you are down to the final stretch of the season, and the Lakers are under 500, or basically at 500, or that Oklahoma City, when Chet went down in the summer, you're like, they're going to throw it, they're going to tank for Wemby and all those things, and they have not. They've been incredibly game all season long. They're very young. Other than SGA, they don't have a ton of star players on that team. They're kind of under the radar NBA guys. Good players, but under the radar NBA guys. That they're where the Lakers are, or where the Lakers are, where the Lakers are, is a bigger surprise.
This one's an easy one for me. The Thunder.
Yeah, I think so too.
The Thunder. I mean, I was doing, okay, so for pregame tonight, right? Kind of try to find some storylines around the Thunder. They have 19 first rounders and 19 first rounders, 19 second rounders in the upcoming years.
How okay? many years?
I want to say it's like 6 years, something
they have
like that.
19 first something round like picks in 6 years.
Yeah, they
three
traded
a year.
Listen. Paul George, right? That was yeah. a key trade where they got a lot of pieces. They went out over the last couple of years, whether it was Russell Westbrook when they traded him, and I'm not 100% sure what they were getting back, how many they were getting. They just been stockpiling picks okay. over X amount of years.
Isn't that too many? I mean, maybe you can flip them for other things, but I just you can't have that many for you don't have that many guys on your team. You don't have that many roster spaces. You don't have that many opportunities to. I mean, they could get some really high picks. At some point, it's just too much of a good thing, no?
I don't think it's too much, and I'll tell you why. I think that now they're going to start. Shea had said this in the past, and Shea just committed to a 5-year contract. I think it's going to be less because I think it's counting this past draft. Count this draft. So let's just say it's 17 and 17, whatever it is, okay? But I don't think it's too much because now you can actually, what they were trying to do, something that so many NBA teams do not understand, or just teams around the leagues in all of these sports, they don't know how to be either we're competing or we're not. They stay in this middle. They hover in the middle. The Thunder have been great at, guys, we got nothing that we're playing for, so let's not even pretend. Let's get all the way to the bottom. Yeah. Or we drafted KD, we drafted Russ, we drafted James Harden, Serge Ibaka, Steve Adams. The Thunder are one of the quiet, really well-run organizations in the league.
Well, they got Presti, and he's maybe the best at this right now. There are other good ones, but he might be the best.
There's a small list of names. He's one of those names.
Yeah.
So I'm more surprised that the Thunder are already this far. I'm more surprised that the Thunder, without Chet, have already kind of gained this much ground. What do they got to lose tonight? If you're the Oklahoma City Thunder, I think you're trying to make the play-in tournament.
Yeah.
You've already stockpiled all these picks. Shea Gilgeous has already been vocal about saying, guys, I also want to win too. He's in the first year of a 5-year contract, so I think now they're going to start that. Okay, let's start making our push to try to be one of these familiar playoff teams.
They are ahead of schedule, and they went for it, which I think is admirable. You don't get that very often. Right, where we're tanking, we're trying to get more picks, we're trying to get to the bottom so we have as good a chance as anybody to get Wembanyama, all of these things. And maybe that was the plan going in. They thought that it would just kind of happen organically. But you get halfway through the season and you kind of look around the room and you're like, you know what? We're not bad. We're certainly as good as some. But this is where a lot of teams say, okay, let's SGA gets an ankle injury or whatever it is. We've seen teams shut guys down in an effort to go race to the bottom. That they didn't do that, I think, is a testament to them. It's much better for the league. Like teams like Utah, teams like OKC, that teams we thought would be bad that are pretty good, and they're trying to be good ahead of schedule. Doesn't happen very often like that. Teams that are trying to be good, that are still trying to be good, and beyond, of course, the Lakers, LeBron James, we know how long he's going to be here. What about Anthony Davis? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Travis, I do think that your knowledge of Denna 2-1-0 is, if not better or comparable to my knowledge of them.
A lot of those on the Twitter stream, right? A couple of Rich A says, Emily's office knowledge is as impressive as Trav's 90210. $8 Square writes, Emily knows the office like you know 90210. There's a handful of those. And by the way, as far as like socially redeeming, yours is a much more reasonable thing to be deep into, whereas a teenage soap opera from the 90s, maybe a little less so.
Hey, at one point, that's all anybody was talking about.
What do you want to know, Slee? Ask me anything.
I have two more for you guys of the quotes. So this is the next one. Again, your name's your buzzer. I've never been lucky, and I'm not talking about the lottery. I'm talking about stuff like developing a soy allergy at 35. Who gets a soy allergy at 35? Why is soy in everything?
I don't know.
So here are the options. Do you guys want options of who it is?
Sure.
Okay. Kevin, Toby, Kelly.
Taylor.
Okay.
Toby?
Nope. Daryl is the fourth
one. Oh, okay. Yeah.
So it is Daryl.
Mm. Daryl, I would not have guessed Daryl.
This is him, and it was a talking head. I did not know that first guess, but then I was like, oh, then once I saw it's in the lotto. The one episode where they all win the lottery.
When the one guy invested in the Japanese like sports drinks or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the next one. And then my last job was at a Taco Bell Express, but then it became a full-time Taco Bell, and I don't know, I just couldn't keep up. All right, do you want options?
Sure.
All right, we got Pam, Aaron, Andy, or Jim?
Travis. Sleeve. Okay. I think it's Aaron.
Yeah,
it is Aaron. Yeah, yeah. Aaron, she's talking about how, yeah. It
that
was in...
fits her character.
Yeah, she's not.
You can handle
I'm a fan. I'm a fan. What was that little tidbit thing you gave me about her, the actor?
Yeah, so John Hamm and her. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So John Hamm was her drama teacher in high school. So actually, it's kind of funny because there's a lot of people from The Office that are from the St. Louis area. So Jenna Fisher is from St. Louis. Aaron
Huge fan.
Ellie Kemper, who plays Aaron Hannon, is from St. Louis. And then Phyllis Smith, who plays Phyllis in The Office. You're not a big fan of Phyllis?
Yeah, Phyllis is funny, but not in the way.
Not the same way. She's also from St. Louis, so they all kind of bond. They would watch Cardinals games together. They bond about St. Louis, and you can hear the St. Louis accent a lot in Phyllis's words. Once you know that she's from St. Louis, you can see it all.
What's a St. Louis accent? I don't know that one.
It's like far. Like you gotta say like, hey, you're gonna go over there. And it's a little bit of a variation on like the Pittsburgh, but she's like gonna go get St. that
Louis.
Thing over far. Anyway, once you see it,
you get it.
You'll get it.
Did you get it?
Yeah, I know exactly
it now?
What it is now. Thank you for clearing that up. So you want to get into Anthony Davis? There's a big piece on Anthony Davis today on ESPN.com about how just the weight of everything that his injuries and kind of keeping it together and coming back and getting ready for this final push, and it's very AD. Right, it's very. I think it's complimentary towards him. I think it makes you sympathetic towards him. That everything that he's gone through and how much he wants to do this. But there were some things in there that kind of made you go, huh?
Well, I think one thing, if we're just looking at the team right now, that there's we were talking about this yesterday. Hey, if you take this roster, is how far they go this season going to determine whether you say, hey, let's roll the ball back out next year.
Sure.
Let's give this a real opportunity, not at the trade deadline, and you're left with 23 games, let's say, to do it. How many has LeBron missed in that? AD's missing these back-to-back, so D'Angelo missed some games with an ankle injury. By the way, unfortunately, that's kind of the position Lakers are in again, where you're still not 100% sure, hey, can this thing work, can it not? And the problem is all these guys aren't playing together. He said this about the team makeup. If we actually have a full summer, full training camp, go through an entire season, who knows the position that we'll be in? The team we have now, we feel like not only can we make noise this year, and I like our chance against anybody, to be honest, you put anybody against us, I like our chances. We know what we could be, what threat we could be next year, and then years to come, if they work it out and they're able to keep this group together. We were talking about yesterday. The Lakers go after Kyrie, this, that. I'm looking forward to not have too much of that conversation until we get to the offseason and we kind of see what happens. But doesn't it sound like right there Anthony Davis is saying to himself, if you're asking AD, what do you think? You want to play with this group next year? Do you like what you see so far? Do you think there's an opportunity? There's nothing in that quote that he didn't say that wouldn't tell you, guys, let's just get through this year. You know what? I don't know what's going to happen in the offseason. Guys, I'm not a front office GM. Let's get through the season. Let's move on. No, he's basically indicating, I like what we have here. I like the pieces that we have here, and I think these pieces are something that are sustainable for next year as
Yeah, it's interesting, and I'm not saying that this is exactly the same, but it's the first part of the quote, right? If we actually have a full summer, full training camp, go through an entire season, who knows the position that we'll be in? That feels very Russell Westbrook-y to me. That's what we said 2 years ago after the first Russell Westbrook thing didn't work out. And it's, well, we only saw them together for so many games. And then this happened and that happened. We only played, I forget the number, 18. We only played 18 games together and then yada, yada, yada. I like the group they have now far better than that group. I'm not comparing that it's the same, but I've heard this song before is what I'm saying. I've heard the, well, if this, then that. It's the if part that I don't go past the if.
Mm-hmm.
Right. For me, with this player, it's only the if. If he's healthy, everything will probably work out pretty well, regardless of where the other guys are. If LeBron James is healthy and plays 55, 60, 65 games, same thing for AD, you could put
I don't want to say anybody, but the, whatever you have as your supporting cast with those two guys, pretty darn good team. I agree. It's the if, though, that we keep skipping past the if part of it. LeBron James can be in year 21.
Mm-hmm.
Can be close to 40 years old. Anthony Davis has had a, what is this, third year in a row where we've had real injury issues, okay? So I'm not just blowing past the if. The if is the piece. It's not whether is D'Angelo better than Kyrie, is Kyrie better than D'Angelo, do you keep Vanderbilt, do you keep these? That part is important, but it's not nearly as important as the first part of the equation with if we are all here. Well, it's not all of you. It's you two. And you two have not been here mm-hmm. nearly as much. LeBron, for all the obvious reasons, we have 21 years in the league, a million playoff games along the way, and he's closing in on 40 years old. Mm-hmm. He's gonna miss some games. It's the if. The part after the if is far less intriguing to me, and that's where it seems the Laker fans want to go right away, and where Anthony Davis, but it's the if. Nothing after the if matters.
This is this I think is the difference. I think the difference is, and I'm with you. I remember actually exit meeting last year asking LeBron, did you guys have enough time together? Do you kind of know what this thing was? And he said, look, I've played more games with some of my high school teammates than I did with Anthony Davis and Russell Westbrook.
Right.
However, I wasn't buying it. The 21 games that they played last year together, I don't think there was an indication that any of that looked different.
Uh-huh.
So looking at this situation, I do think it looks different.
It. You're talking about the after part.
Yeah, but this is the thing that I cannot predict. I can't predict to you how many games LeBron James is going to play next year.
What do you think? Because it'll probably be about what he's played this
50
year,
50
right?
at the most.
Yeah, I think so, okay? too. That means he misses 32.
Okay, so then the question becomes, do you have a good enough team that can withstand Anthony Davis playing 50 games? Do you have a good enough team, Russell or LeBron James playing 50 games? Because the roster that they previously had, you clearly could not withstand that.
Yeah.
So that's why I get what you're saying about, I don't know how many games these guys are going to play, but the question is more, can they make the playoffs with the roster that they have, even if these guys play 50 games or something along those lines? And if they get there and they're healthy at that time, then can they make a run or not? I don't believe that with that Russell Westbrook team, that was the case. At least this one's giving you a little bit of a scenario where it's more predictable that they can sort of hang if they're all playing together. I would take my chances with this roster over that one.
I'm going to bring it back to the thing that I talk about the most. This is like arguing over the side dishes on the plate when you can't get the steak right. Right? They keep going, well, we'll get the steak right. Yeah, but you never do. Well, we're going to have it right. Yeah, but you haven't gotten it right. It's burned. It's undercooked. It's the wrong. This idea that we're worrying about everything after, this is the most important part. Whatever happens after that is not nearly as interesting. It's not nearly as viable as if your two best players don't play together mm-hmm. a whole bunch of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And 50's low. I mean, 50's just barely more than half the season. 50 games is not a lot. I think it needs to be 60 or more, where not only are they there, but they're there together. Then, sure, all of these other things become meaningful. It becomes meaningful whether or not D'Angelo is good enough to be the third best guy on that team, whether or not Austin Reeves continues to develop into the player that he's been, you know, in the second part of this season. And is Darvin Ham the right coach? And do you have enough depth and three-point shooting? And all of the things that are important to a basketball team. But I will not just blow past that first step, because it's the first step that's kept them out of last year, potentially this year, the year before that. It's not the auxiliary pieces, it's the main pieces.
Well, I think the auxiliary pieces have not helped any of the situation. Yes, that's the foundation of your team. If the concrete's not set, you can't build the rest of the home. But I think if you and I both feel like they're probably not going to play over 50 games,
then
we kind of know that.
They're really, really
But why is that different than the last couple years, right?
That's my point. It's not. If we're trying to, then what is the solution?
The solution is, the only solution, because Bron and AD ain't going anywhere. They're not going anywhere.
Probably not.
So then the solution is you got to put together the best roster that you possibly can to where they can at least sustain the thing doesn't completely crumble.
The two, are they leaving anywhere? Probably not.
Mm-hmm.
Can you build something around them? Maybe not. The third option is it's going to be the same thing again, that no matter what you do, you're going to get the same result because you're putting together the same recipe. You're putting together an aging star. You're putting together a star that has trouble staying on the court, and then you're shuffling the deck with the other pieces. And you will probably, if that's what we've done the last 3 years, to the same result, odds are you're going to get the same result. It doesn't have to be different. It could be exactly the same thing, which is you're floating around that number. Maybe you get in, maybe you don't. Maybe you're hot, maybe you're not. Maybe they miss this one, maybe they don't. But it's not like, oh, this is the key to bump us up to third or fourth.
I think their record would be a lot different if they did. I think what AD's saying about having this roster from the beginning of the season, I think it would be different than where they're sitting right now. Start out 2-10 with that other team.
Factor Cap coming up next. It's Travin Slee, 710 ESPN.
Hey, guys. Berg, what did you think of the diss track?
Oh, I thought the diss track was great.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It's really good.
I thought you did an excellent, excellent job on it.
I can't
it,
wait
Emily.
For Super Crosstalk, because I'm sure that Ireland's going to feel the same way.
Don't play it again until he's actually here to hear it, because I don't want him to hear it beforehand and have a thought on it. You know what I mean?
Think about it.
There's no way he heard it earlier.
Catch him cold.
Yes.
I listen to it in my car just like,
Just to get you ready.
Well, you get that T-Swift.
Yeah.
T-Swift.
Yeah.
If I could speak.
Vigilante S. All right. So on Wednesday night, Scott Van Pelt hosts his nightly Sports Center. And so on Wednesday, he did not seem to be in the best shape to do it.
You're wondering, can he make it? Will he be able to make it to the end?
Can he do it?
I don't know. Connor McDavid. Leading the NHL in goals.
Oh,
this is terrible.
Gosh.
I'm trying. What a disaster.
He's got 58 on the
All right, so that's the general
point. Was that you that day that I wasn't here, basically?
Oh, right.
Yes.
So, Scott Van Pelt should have taken the day off of work. Travis, Patrick Cap.
I salute Scott Van Pelt. I admire his determination to muscle through what obviously was not his best day on the air. He took one for the team. He is a guy that respects hard work and showing up every single day. He's the Cal Ripken of SportsCenter anchors.
Yeah. You didn't answer
we
the question.
We don't take days off. I deeply respect him for doing it. What was the question?
Should he have taken the day off or no?
No, Cap.
Cap.
All right, Berg.
Go to work. If you can stand, you go to work.
If you can do it, you go to work. Absolutely, 100%. It's Cap. But also, that was the end of the broadcast, so I would like to know what it sounded like before all of that.
Maybe
that was the
T
opener.
Had a Super Bowl party the night
that
before.
Was the opener.
Oh, I wonder where that came from. But either way, yeah, it's Cap. I mean, like he got through most of it. It sounds like it was just the end that it was just dying.
All right, Al?
Fact. You should. You definitely should take the taking the day off.
You
the question the question what it comes down to is it good for the product or is it not? Is it, let me use as an example, if there's a player who's injured, are you helping your team by being out on the court, or are you hurting your team because you have a swollen ankle and can't play any defense and run up and down
the
floor?
That showed up that day,
right?
What if you're out there by yourself? You got to do it.
Then you rely on your depth from the rest of the bench that's out there, and you take your chances.
But
I think
must-win games.
I think
right.
It's fact.
Right.
It's fact.
Taylor?
Cap, he shouldn't have taken it off. I think that this happened to him like mid-show, didn't it? If I'm not mistaken. I think.
Yeah, it was mid-show.
Yeah,
this is the end of the show.
Voice is fine before. He didn't know it was coming on. And I mean, he's better with a scratchy voice than most are with their normal voice, probably.
So he just kind of progressed that bad?
I don't know.
He probably was probably a little rough, but he got through it, drank some tea and honey and all that kind of stuff, and then finally.
But isn't
got
that
to
the
there.
Equivalent of saying somebody started the game, he was just fine.
They can't run.
It doesn't mean you keep him in the game.
It was
the Bruins. He just ran out of gas.
What was that?
You took a shot.
I did it myself. I did
took your own shot. But that's better to take a shot at your own team before anybody else takes a shot.
Oh, no, he can take it all he wants. It doesn't change that they went 11 minutes without getting
a
basket.
So give Factor Caps.
It doesn't change that they gave up a 30-footer to knock it down and lose the game.
Factor Cap, they should have guarded the in-bend pass. Berg.
Oh, jeez. Were you actually waiting for me for this?
No. You brought it up, and then I... Anyway, that's not the real Factor Cap.
Make a diss track about Bergman next.
Well done, and yes, 100% they should have guarded the
always
inbound
guard
pass.
The inbound pass.
I was screaming. Why? Because that's how they got back into the game. Was by
always.
By pressing, and all of a sudden they're like, okay, last play. Let's everyone step back.
Mm.
Don't do anything. Ugh, it's just
or you could
make
score
it difficult.
two baskets in 11 minutes. Just two.
Well, that was
promising. You know, I'm not asking for 20 points. Just get 4 points.
That's the bigger problem because that dude just hit a shot.
Yeah.
He hit a 30-footer, but that's the bigger problem.
100% it was the 11 minutes. I don't want to take away from factor cap, so keep going.
All right. So a woman in Utah was kind of put a little bit on blast because she is the bride, and she led a round of aerobics with her, I'm assuming it was her bridesmaid slash maybe like mother-in-law and mother of the bride, in like an aerobics class on her special day, on the day of her wedding. She was in like a little white jumpsuit thing, and then all of them were dressed up. So essentially, she had asked them to do this aerobics class for her on her special day. So you would sit it out if your buddy really wanted to do group exercise on the day of his wedding. So you're a groomsman, you're his buddy, you would sit it out. Berg, Patrick Kapp.
Cap, absolutely not. If he wants me to do something, I'm the groomsman. It's his day. Whatever he wants is what happens.
Cap. All right, Al?
Cap, but I'm going to have a good time. If that means I'm going to have some ultras like we were playing in pickleball, like I'm still going to enjoy myself. I'm going to make fun of the situation, the fact that that's what he wants to do, but I'm going to do what he asked me to do because he is getting married. I'm doing it. Yeah.
All right, Jeff?
I forget what the answer. I agree with these guys. Yeah. Cap, I don't fish. That's not my hobby, right? It's just not something that I love to do. One of my buddies, when he was getting married for his bachelor party, they wanted to go out on a boat and go fishing for the day.
Awesome.
Okay. And so, of course, I went.
Yeah.
Right. I wanted to do it. And we went out of San Diego and we go out and we're playing cards on the boat. We're having a few beers. We're having a good time. And the boat's chugging along and chugging along and chugging along. We all go to sleep. We wake up the next morning at dawn to start fishing and we fish all day. It was all right. Not my cup of tea. It was fine. And then we put everything away and the boat starts going back. And I'm like, well, how long until we get back? He goes, well, how long did it take us to get here? I'm like, well, what are you talking about? It's like, well, we went through the night. We went 8 hours out. It's 8 hours back. I'm like, that's not even a little bit funny. How long till we get back? I'm like, I'm not kidding.
Probably longer because the current is coming in.
And I'm thinking, had I known that, I probably would have said, Bob, I love you. You're one of my buddies, and I know you love fishing, but
that's awesome.
I'm not spending 16 hours on a damn boat to catch nothing.
Awesome. So now, what if your buddy wanted to have a prank war for his the whole day is just one big prank war.
What if your buddy just wanted to stretch? 10 minutes of stretching.
I would not do birds. I would do the stretches.
Taylor?
Cap, I don't think it sounds that bad. Why was she getting flack for it?
Just that, you know, you're being a little bit of a bridezilla. You're making people do these things that they don't want
to
do.
Not asking her to cut off a pinky and a loyalty oath. Right. You're just to do a little jazzercise and keep it moving. Who cares?
Yeah. It's an interesting request. Guys, I want to do the elliptical together for 45 minutes.
It's not what I would choose. But if you said, Trav, sure. I really want to do the elliptical. All right.
Or like,
I
mean, I'll do it. Or you're like, hey, Trav, I really want to do a bike ride on the morning of my, but I want my buds to go with. But also, I think people are just saying, she should just do it on her own. If she wants
squat.
But if she wants her people, she wants her people.
Exactly.
I get that. Yeah, nothing wrong with that.
No.
All right, so today is the anniversary of the God.
I need a big bike to go on that ride, by the way. Like one of those big tires. I want an e-bike. Yeah. You guys can go beach cruisers. I'd like an e-bike, please.
Today is the anniversary of The Godfather. Came out on this day in 1972.
Funches should watch it.
Right, exactly. So speaking
overrated
of
Funches,
he was not happy with the runtime of the Godfather movie. Awesome. So The Godfather is the only movie that is longer than 2 hours and 45 minutes that's worth the time put into it, that it's worth every second of that movie. Alan, Patrick Kapp. And the statement is it's the only one.
Let's put it this way. If you said, hey, pick one movie that's going to be of that length or longer.
Babylon.
That's the one I'm picking. I'm picking Godfather. So it's not that there aren't other entertaining movies. Listen, anytime you're doing anything for 3 hours, it's impossible not to, I got to look at my phone. I got to do this or that. This is a long time. I got to go use the restroom, whatever the case is. But Godfather for me is the one that, no problem. I could do the 245 and be completely okay with it.
Trev?
It's Cap for only one reason. You have the word only in there.
Right.
It's a good choice, and it's a great movie, and it doesn't feel like there's extra scenes in there that need to come out. Sometimes, even a movie that's an hour and a half, you're like, yeah, that could have been an hour and 10 minutes. I would have been fine with that. But I'm sure there is something else out there that runs longer than 2.5 hours that is worthy of it. So I'm going to say Cap, but Godfather's probably the best choice.
Berg?
Right. It's all the same thing. It's Cap. There's other movies like Endgame was really, really good and worth the amount of time that it was.
Mm-hmm. What about Godfather Part 2?
Also, it's not quite as long.
No, it is longer.
Is it longer?
So the first one is 2 hours and 55 minutes. The second one is 3 hours and 20 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, yeah. And totally worth it. Yeah. Like, all of it is totally worth it. So there are other movies. So the only part of it is Cap.
All right, Taylor?
Cap for me, too. There's a lot of good long movies. I think The Dark Knight's pretty long.
Yeah, that is long.
Dark Knight Rises. Shawshank?
Dark Knight is great.
Shawshank is pretty long.
If you watch it on TBS, it's 2 days long. Right. If you saw it in the theaters, it's like 2.5.
Yeah, you can get at least 300 commercials in. TBS is like, we got it. No, we got the perfect game plan here.
I was reading something the other day about NBA rights fees, mm-hmm. and they're saying like the whole TNT model is predicated on having the NBA, that you cannot have a business where you're just showing 5-hour versions of Shawshank Redemption. That was one of the lines in it. It's like, yeah, because it's on a streaming platform somewhere.
Right.
Yeah, Why would you watch that with 3,000 commercials when you don't
Ridiculous.
Have to?
Some of the others on the list of like the best long movies are like Dark Knight Rises, The Lord of the Rings trilogy, all have them that are really long. Schindler's List, Scarface, all those are
Scarface are was over.
Was it really that long? I forgot that.
Ready for a hot take?
2.5.
Uh-oh. Ready? Scarface sucks.
Nah, that's
what
good
is wrong
movie.
With it's you? A it's a terrible movie.
Nah, it's a bad accent.
It's a terrible movie. It doesn't make any sense. Like, honestly, I know it's popular. I know it's iconic. It's a terrible movie.
I
like
the movie. When it comes down to the
I'll watch it again tonight.
Not a lot makes sense.
I'll watch it again tonight.
Right. I love that movie. It's great.
Titanic is also over 3 hours too.
Yeah,
so.
Not watching that again.
Yeah, you can have that.
Today is
3 hours for a boat to sink is ridiculous.
Okay.
Hurry up and hit the ice.
Yeah, right. Let's just get this over with.
It's National Cocktail Day. The best skill that you can have as a host is to make a good cocktail. Taylor, Fetcher Cap.
Good one.
I think fact. Yeah, that's an important skill. Trying to think of another one.
Cook well.
Being able to cook well.
Good conversationalist. There's other things that can be there for the host.
Screw the conversation. Just know how to cook and know how to eat.
Yeah, get your party drunk. That's a good idea.
Taylor? Or Travis?
It's high on the list, but it's capped because I think the best thing a host can do is make their guests feel welcome in their home. That's the number one skill. Like, if the drink is just okay and the food is just okay, but you're really happy to be there and you feel like the people are excited to have you in their home, that's a good party. I could have the perfect martini. You know how much I love a good martini.
Right.
But if I feel like you're waiting for me to leave, that's not a good party. that may be like, I appreciate the drink, but I can tell that you're waiting for me to leave so you can go back to your regular life. Make people feel welcome in your home. That's number one.
Berg?
Yeah, it's cap. I think that it is very, very high up there. I think being good on the grill, being able to have things like being welcoming and having
good
those
playlist.
The playlist.
Good one, too.
It's a good one, but it's not necessary.
Pandora will take care of it. Yeah, just throw Pandora
on. You throw
the
it on, whatever's going on in the background.
That's what it does.
If the party is good, the music is just kind of secondary, kind of going on in the background. It helps it, of course, but no, I think there's other things that are more important.
Mace has weighed in. He says, play the guitar.
Oh, God, that's the worst thing you can do.
That'll clear a room.
I will leave immediately. My brother's that guy, and I hate it.
You better be able to do it like Taylor. Like, you better be able to do it well, or that's going to be one of those, is this guy really singing at us?
No, even then, I don't want you. Don't be that guy, Taylor.
Only if people ask.
All right, Al?
So I'll go cap on this. If it was, let's just say it's my preference of, if I was somebody that could make a really good cocktail or somebody that really knew how to cook, I would take the cooking. Like, I think that would be great that everybody that's there is saying, damn, this food's really good. Love what you did there. Wow, that tastes delicious. I would take that, so I'd go cap on me.
The drink is important. I sit down, have a little variety, and have one specialty cocktail for that day. Knock it out. Everybody's happy. I have a theory, Slee, that I think the Rams are getting ready to repeat themselves all over again.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you if it's a good idea or not. It's coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
St. Louis. I still don't know.
Yeah, I don't know that. Like Chicago, Wisconsin. Yep. I know what that sounds like.
Did I help?
Minnesota. I got that. Yep. I'm like, I know some of
Minnesota.
The Midwestern. Yeah.
A little
right
bit of
there, that. That's not bad.
Yeah.
There's like Midwestern accents to
She's
be sure.
She's got the best Jersey one. The Jersey one, I've never heard anything like it.
Well, that I agree with.
Waiting for it.
I'm walking here. Get out of my way. Bagels.
Bagels.
Don't bring up bagels to Taylor and I. Don't bring up bagels to Taylor and I. That's a very sour spot for the two of us.
You guys mentioned it. So Susan was with her mom last night.
I'm walking here.
And she spent the night at her mom. They went to dinner and they had a little wine. So she stayed up with her mom last night. And she comes back this morning when I got it, and because she was coming home to get Michael out the door to go to school and everything. And Michael gets up about when I leave.
Mm-hmm.
So I got downstairs this morning. Susan not only got home in time to get Michael going, there were bagels. She went to the bagel store.
Come on,
fresh
Susan.
Fresh bagels.
Was it where Bobby's been the bagel king?
Bagel
thing?
Lord.
Bagel Lord, yes.
Yes, yes, it was.
Did you say to her, it was, did you make these? Because Emily made me some.
I didn't. It was like such a, this was like awesome. One of those moments like, you know what? There are many of these, but I made a good choice in my
bring
life.
Bring it in. This yeah, is,
that's
when you say
that's
bring
something
it in.
That you do that for somebody that you care about.
Also, the St. Louis accent, when you say 40, they say Fardy.
Fardy.
Fardy?
Fardy. Like they say, oh, yeah, let's go over to I Fardy.
Fardy.
I Fardy. I don't like the sound of that.
I Fardy.
I could be lying to you.
You could be. I wouldn't know. And I.
What is someone who's born in St. Louis, but grew up in Jersey. Spends a lot of time in St. Louis. Emily?
I'm walking you across the I-40.
Yeah, that's not great. That sounds like somebody that should be.
I don't know why.
That needs help.
I don't know.
That sounds like somebody that needs, you know, hey, come here for a second. You, everything okay?
I don't know why your Jersey one. That setup is amazing.
Can I help you? Are you all right? Just come here. Let me make sure that you get to where you need to go. So we've talked about the fact that the Rams' plan isn't really an obvious plan at this mm-hmm. point. They you know what? So
they have a board there at the stadium that just says game plan, and there's nothing there right now. It has not been filled out yet.
It's kind of what it is. Yeah. You know what? Their free agent. They did sign one free agent. Anybody?
Who is it?
Coleman Shelton, one of their own guys, who was a free agent, and they re-signed him to a contract. Okay.
They did a presser.
And he's an important part of their offensive line. This is fine, okay? This is how it goes, and this is life in the NFL. But they've been very inactive in free agency. Jalen Ramsey is gone. Allen Robinson is likely to be gone mm-hmm. at some point. Leonard Floyd, they cut. Bobby Wagner, they cut. So they're going in the other direction. Stop me if this feels a little familiar. We know that they're going into this season that the prospects of them being really good are a long shot, right? They're probably going to have a season where they got to scrap for some wins.
We went through all the road and home games, and we were kind of
six-ish, seven-ish.
Yeah.
It feels like they're going to have a challenging season to be sure. We know that Caleb Williams is very, very likely to be the number one pick next draft, right?
The
2024 draft. Would you sign up for this, Lee? Would you sign up for the Jared Goff plan 2.0? And let me explain.
Mm-hmm.
The Rams were not a terrible team when they decided we're going to trade a whole bunch of stuff to move up to the number one pick, to select a quarterback, to set us up for our next era of Rams football. They sent to Tennessee. They basically flipped first-round draft picks so they could go all the way to number one. They sent them 2 seconds, another first-round pick, and 2/3. Okay? The price, obviously, this time around would be higher.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When you see what like Deshaun Watson got, the price to trade for quarterbacks and move up to the number one pick, it's going to be pretty high. So it would be higher. But here's what happened. When they made that deal, they went from a team that was somewhere between terrible and mediocre to a team that went to the Super Bowl twice in a six-year window, won a Super Bowl in that six-year window, went to the playoffs 4 out of 6 years in that six-year window. And it wasn't just because you got Jared Goff, but what Jared Goff allowed them to do once Sean McVay got his hands on him was, that's an okay place to go. They're on to something here. And now Tlaib's there, and Peters is there, and Whitworth is there, and here comes Clay Matthews, and Dante Fowler will make a trade for Jalen Ramsey. It becomes a destination because the thing's trending in the right direction.
Yeah.
They ultimately cut loose Jared Goff, go get Matthew Stafford that puts him over the top. But that was the beginning, a big, bold swing to move up to number one, very expensive, take a quarterback that started the process of a six-year window that by any measure was wildly successful.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do it again?
So I would say this. I think the confusing part with the team right now is they still got big-time players that are on the roster. They still have big-time players that are on the team. So what are you then doing with – what's the future you think for Matt Stafford with the Rams? What do you think the future is? I'm just curious. How long do you think Matthew Stafford is part of the Los Angeles Rams?
Not long.
Okay, so another year?
I think he will be a Ram this year, and beyond that, I wouldn't put a ton of stock in knowing what's happening next.
Okay, so you are giving up all that draft compensation to go get Jared Goff in the past, and now you're saying that you got to give up probably a lot more draft compensation to go be to hope that there's a franchise out there that ends up with the number one pick that then you could go trade for to go try to get Caleb Williams, right? That's kind of the idea and the concept.
Yep.
I think part of the reason why they're in the position that they're in is because they already have been F those picks for so long. There isn't that much. I mean, from a draft compensation perspective,
they're getting flush again. Like they're back to normal starting next year.
So
basically,
they'll get flush again. But isn't part of the reason why they're in the situation, the spot, is because they didn't have the depth. They didn't have
Draft depth. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a player depth this year. But again, last year Bill was due, right? Last year, yep. And I'm including it in that 6 year window. The six year Sean McVay window is. The bill was due, and it was a bad year. The other five were two Super Bowl appearances, a Super Bowl championship, and two other playoff appearances. You missed the playoffs twice in 6 years. Only one of those years was legitimately bad because you had to pay the bill. That basically we paid off our credit card, and now we've got this high limit all over again. We can go spend this stuff and do it all over again.
So Caleb Williams is a big enough name, and he's a big enough star, and he's right here already in Southern California.
Good enough, right?
It's a big enough. If you gambled on Caleb Williams, I think that's a. But here's my problem. I really think that there's going to be a franchise out there. I don't think anybody's going to be. If you have an opportunity to get Caleb Williams and you're one of these other teams, isn't there such a strong likelihood that that's a player that's probably going to get?
Yeah. But there's also not a guarantee. The Bears picked number one this year. They just didn't need a quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
A similar situation. Look, if you run into something where the guy that's sitting on number one needs a quarterback too, then there's probably not.
There's
a,
no probably there, conversation.
There's some things that need
to
line up along the way, but you could also continue to sweeten.
Would
until
you do it?
Somebody said, yeah, I would. Having seen what I just saw, 6 years, two great seasons, one championship, four really fun seasons, and two that weren't great. Yeah, that's a great 6 year run.
It's funny when they won the Super Bowl with Stafford a year ago. That's crazy to kind of already be having this conversation, thinking that
the NFL.
Yeah.
It turns over fast.
Turns over fast, but you also thought, okay, they're going to have a window where you feel like they're going to be competing at least for a couple years.
Well, they got one. Thank goodness.
They got one.
If you spend all that, you better get something nice on that credit card if you're going to go max it out.
Listen, there's nothing anyone can say negative about the franchise for what they accomplished. So.
Scarface is not the worst movie of all time only because Blood In, Blood Out exists. I haven't seen that one, but I'll take your word
for it. Watch it tonight after the Laker game.
Oh, no. Really? All right, we got a little Laker news, a little Laker health news that we'll give you when we come back. That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.